This is the State of Things from the Upstage Cabaret, a Triad stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stachow. Two recent interventions by police in Greensboro and in Winston-Salem have prompted questions about the police use of force. Marcus Dion Smith died in a hospital after he was restrained by police in Greensboro. His family said he was hogtied. Family's lawyer says the position left Smith unable to breathe, and his family is now asking for the Greensboro City Council to review the police body camera footage. And in Winston-Salem, the city's police department has publicly released body cam footage after a contentious arrest of a 14-year-old middle school student by a school resource officer. Both incidents have spurred a conversation about law enforcement behavior and about access to police video. Jordan Green is senior editor with the Triad City Beat. He's been following the stories and joins us now. Jordan, welcome. Good to see you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with a story here in Greensboro. Marcus Dion Smith. Who was he? And tell us what happened.
He was a 38-year-old man who grew up who came here from South Carolina, was experiencing homelessness. And he was a frequent guest at the Interactive Resource Center, which is a homeless day center here in Greensboro. And I will say also beloved by the staff there.
And so how did he come in contact with the police?
Well, on September 8th, which was the time of the North Carolina Folk Festival here in Greensboro, sometime after midnight, he was wandering in and out of slow-moving traffic on Church Street, which is in the festival area, according to his family, asking for help, and the police arrived on the scene, and they called EMS, and that's how the encounter began.
And I understand that while waiting for EMS, he was in the back of a squad car. Did I get that part right, or do we not know?
Yes, the police... he wasn't under arrest, but the police put him in the back of the squad car for his safety, presumably. Mm-hmm. He became very agitated at that point, according to the family's lawyer, and hit the windows and also kind of pulled back and tried to kick the window. And so mm-hmm. the police let him out of the car, and that's at the point. I should say after that, he started pacing again, kind of the same agitated behavior, and that's the point when the police put him in this restraint.
Well, talk about the restraint. What do we know about it? What does the police report say? And for people who've seen the video, how do they describe what they saw?
The police report doesn't really say anything about it, and that's kind of a matter of contention that a lot of community folks feel they should have been more upfront about it. The family father who watched and lawyer who watched the video say that Marcus was taken to the ground by the police. One officer put cuffs on his back, and then they used this restraint, which is technique which is described in the directives, called hogtying or rip hobble, which they basically have a strap that makes kind of a lasso, and they lassoed it around his ankles and then pulled the strap between the handcuffs and his back, looped it back to create a tension, and then used a carabiner to attach it to a ring.
So the hands handcuffed behind his back, now he's got the strap going from ankles around the cuffs behind him. So this is where the phrase hogtied comes from, right? And so his legs are bent. And so what position, and this also becomes a point of contention, because let's talk now about what happened after that.
According to the family's lawyer, within a minute, Marcus Smith became unresponsive, and the officers noticed, and one of the officers said, untie him, and then he was put in the ambulance, and he later died in the hospital.
Now, what did the police say about the cause of death? Has the hospital given us a cause of death?
The autopsy has not been completed and released by the NC Medical Examiner's office.
So. All right, so we don't have a cause of death yet. Now, this question of being hogtied, the police say that this was an authorized, whatever they're going to call it, That's what they did, and so this is authorized, and are there rules and procedures in the manual, in the police manual, describing how and when it should be used?
Yes. Last week, the police department said that they concluded their administrative investigation and said that the officers did not violate any policies. But the directives are pretty clear about how this restraint is supposed to be used. And so, you know, one thing that Graham Holt, the lawyer, has said very clearly is that he saw in the video that Marcus Smith was lying on his stomach during this minute period. I want to read the directive if I could, so sure. I can just get the exact language. It says, and the lawyer also said that the officers tightened the strap so tight that Marcus's shoulders and his knees were suspended above the ground. The directive says, at no time shall the wrists and ankles of the arrestee be linked together using the rip hobble device unless the arrestee can be seated in an upright position or on their side. If this is done, the knees of the arrestee will not be bent more than 90 degrees unless extenuating circumstances exist to prevent stress being placed on the arrestee's chest muscles or diaphragm, which might contribute to a positional asphyxiation situation.
All right, and so we have those who have seen the video say, well, no, they didn't follow that procedure. He was on his stomach. This was not right. We haven't seen it, so what's the status of the video?
Well, the city council has not reviewed the video. That's one of the things that community members are calling on them to do. There's kind of a standoff and argument about procedure. A lot of community members feel that the procedure set forth for investigating complaints through a complaint review board is kind of a stall tactic and doesn't necessarily they don't have a lot of trust in it, I'll say that.
Yeah, and again, we haven't seen it. City Council hasn't seen it, so we can't make a judgment, and the process then can get stalled very easily because we can't make a judgment, and people who are authorized to make these judgments can't see it. What about the what about the officers? What's their status? And let's start there.
They are back on active duty. The district attorney's office provided a letter to the police department saying that they had no objections to the officers being placed back on regular duty. The interesting thing is that the SBI conducts an investigation of deaths in custody. The SBI investigation is not complete because the autopsy and toxicology report is not complete. I actually just spoke with a assistant district attorney who said that they wouldn't have any further comment besides saying they don't object to the officers going back to regular duty. She wouldn't respond to my question about whether the DA has made a determination about whether there might be criminal liability on the part of the officers.
So that they didn't say they ruled it out.
Didn't say they would or didn't
say
they wouldn't.
Didn't say they would or didn't say they... I just have about a minute or two left, but I do want to talk about another incident, a 14-year-old girl arrested by a school resource officer, Winston-Salem. Tell us about that.
Sure. I mean, the comparisons here is that there's a racial aspect of a white officer and African-American, in this case, a 14-year-old student, and video comes into play, and it's a use of force incident. This occurred in early October at Haynes Middle School in Winston-Salem. Played out much differently because there was a bystander who captured this incident where this 14-year-old student was brought down to the ground on the parking lot of the school. The video went viral. There was a lot of community outcry. Eventually, a group of news organizations, including the owner of the Winston-Salem Journal, got a court order to release the police body camera video. The police department put on a very extensive presentation, including a commentary from a police officer from Elizabeth City who independently reviewed the officer's actions. The officer's attorney spoke. So there's a very clear explanation to the community in that case of what exactly transpired.
And they've seen the video. So there's a little bit of a difference there.
Right.
Jordan Green is senior editor with the Triad City Beat. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Just ahead, we'll get some holiday tips, restaurateurs from the award-winning Winston-Salem restaurant. Sweet Potatoes are here to answer your questions about Thanksgiving. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. First, I'm very excited to say we are bringing you live the music of the Burlington Boys Choir.